How many love Jesus?
Amen.
All right. There are some wonderful things taking place. And I'm sure that some of you see and understand and realize what is taking place. Now, I want to go to a scripture tonight that I've ministered on before. It's been a little while since we talked on this scripture. But it's a scripture that many of you are familiar with. It's Revelation 10. Let's go over to the book of Revelation and let's talk about Revelation 10. Revelation 10, chapter 10, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered the voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven say unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. He said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. Now I want you to notice in Revelation 12, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Chapter 13, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. You know, reading as much as I did here, you could preach on it for a month. But thinking tonight upon the wonderful things of God, I think that most of you that understand the things of God, that you'll agree with me right at this moment that something is happening that the world doesn't understand. Now, I believe that you'll agree with me that there is something that is taking place at this time that even the church world has not got a hold of, and the church world doesn't understand it. And I believe that if you'll think just a little bit, you'll agree with me that there's something that's taking place right now that Brother Branham's followers doesn't understand. Now you say, Brother Pike, what makes you to believe this? It's not something I believe. It's something that I know to be the truth. I have put it to the test, and I've talked to all walks of life. That is, people in all walks of life. And I've talked to people in these different fields of activity that I'm speaking of tonight, and they definitely do not know what is taking place. Now, that means that God is doing a new thing. Did you know that when it comes to pass that people don't understand what God is doing, then that means that God is doing a new thing? Because people as a whole always understand what God is doing so far as the trend of things, and they're able to answer you accordingly. But it has come to a place at this hour that people are so confused and tore up that even the great leaders of today, not only those that are in the religious realm, but those that are in the governmental ranks, cannot tell you what's happening, and they cannot understand what is taking place. You know, this goes back to the time of Jesus. When Jesus came, everybody got confused. They got confused because they didn't understand what was taking place. See, God had always done a certain thing. He had done it a certain way. And they could follow that trend of things, and it wasn't confusing to them. Now, but all of a sudden, when Jesus came on the scene, God did a new thing. A virgin conceived and brought forth a son. That had never been done in the history of the world. And though it had been spoken of, yet it had not been valued as being authentic in the sense that they were not in expectation of that one thing. So then Moses, who had given them the law, it had been many years from that time that they had precisionally or precisely followed the steps of the law right on down, step after step, until they thoroughly understood the law. They had rehearsed it in their minds and in their hearts until they understood what was taking place. And in doing so, then they understood and they could continue to do what Moses had told them to do. But when Jesus came, all of a sudden everything seemed to go berserk. Nobody understood anything. Here come Jesus. Nobody couldn't understand what Jesus was doing and why he was doing this thing. And they would say, why is it that you're contrary to Moses? They said, Moses told us to do such and such things, and here you're contrary to Moses. Now, Moses told us to be sure to wash our hands, but you don't wash your hands before you eat. And so then, having added to God's Word, having rearranged God's Word, having done to God's Word the same thing that the people of today have done to the Constitution of the United States, they had it in a conglomeration of a mess. And they didn't understand it. And the scribes and the Pharisees, trying to use it for their own personal advantage, had used it in such a way that they'd gotten it so crossed up that the average person or the common people couldn't understand what they were doing. Did you know the common people of today don't understand the government? But did you know that when the government was first set up by the forefathers, that the common people understood it as well as anybody else? But today it's too complicated. They can't understand it. You know, the law says you can't do this, but the law does it anyway. You understand what I'm saying? It's the same way with the Word of God today. Evangelists and ministers throughout the world, they have rearranged and changed the Word of God until they have done the same thing that the Bible spoke of back in Jesus' day. They have changed the Word of God into a lie. It's no wonder there's lying signs and wonders and miracles. If the Word of God can be changed into a lie, it's for sure that you can change a miracle into a lie. But there is lying signs, wonders, and miracles. They have changed the Word of God into a lie, and they have rearranged things so and made such a mess of the Word of God in the eyes of the people until today people don't know what is godly and what is not godly. They don't know what's right and what is not right. I remember when Oral Roberts came on the scene. He was so powerful in his ministry, and things happened in such a great way that people that had been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin went back and was rebaptized the other way. They went and got baptized the other way because they got so tore up that they couldn't tell what was going on. See, God is doing a new thing. Brother, I'll tell you something. You've got to have a conviction in the day we're living in. The Bible said, woe unto them that give suck in that day. You need to get away from being a child. You need to get away from your babyhood, and you need to grow up in God. The Bible said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, I enjoy everything that happens in the ministry. I enjoy playing spiritually, as we say, dancing, whereas the Bible said that the children sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. I enjoy speaking in tongues. I enjoy dancing. I've done it all. I enjoy shouting and hollering and praising God. And there's nothing better than to do those things in Christ and let yourself go and worship God. But brother and sister, there's more to it than that. We need the meat of the Word to where we can understand what God's doing. We need to get down into the Word of God and get the roots of that thing to where we can tell what's going on. You know, they tell me that cattle will just eat across the top of the ground, and next year there'll be a harvest. And they tell me that they used to have a lot of problem, that is the cattlemen and the sheep herders. Because they said when the sheep come through, they didn't just eat the top to where they'd have another harvest, but they'll pull up the roots and they'll eat everything. And when they get through, there is no other harvest. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to get down to business, to where we'll pull up the roots and eat everything and there won't be any more harvest. To where we can digest what God has got for us, and to where we can get into the place where God wants us to be and do the thing that's pleasing to God. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you what, God has got to move in the world today. God's got to move in the land. As a matter of fact, I was telling a vision this morning concerning Brother Franklin Walden's campground. I was over near the campground. I wasn't on the campground, but I was near the campground, and I went out as it was to a little place where they were eating hamburgers or whatever it was, and I looked out in this little plaza, and there was a multitude of people. This multitude of people was standing around, and I looked out there, and God was leading me over to Brother Walden's to preach. And as I went by, I saw this multitude of people standing out there. And as I came up, my presence impressed the people, and the Holy Spirit came so great until I just said to the people, I said, come on and let's go to church. I said, it's growing late. We've got to do something. And those people just freely melted in my hands and just flocked in and followed me as I walked off. God is doing something tonight. In the last few services we've had here at Bethlehem, there's been a great move of God. There's been things taking place, whereas some of you have never seen them. I noticed in the last few services that your eyes are beginning to come open. I noticed this morning that God did a new thing. When have we ever done what we did this morning at Bethlehem? When would we ever do that at Bethlehem? See, when did we do the things we'd done the other night at Bethlehem? God is moving by His Spirit. And God is wanting somebody to follow His Spirit. Oh, this is wonderful. You know what? People get in a rut. And this is why God does a new thing. Now, they get in a rut. And then when they get in a rut, the hypocrite can get in there and just take everything they've got. Because it's a routine. See, and the hypocrite programs his mind, and he gets in there and he just feeds off of the people. When all of a sudden God takes the hypocrite by surprise and God changes it over, and then the hypocrite don't know what to do and don't know where to go, and he's all tore up over the situation. And that's what confounds them. But the little sheep that follow God's voice, it don't make any difference whether it's routine or not. If God says do it, they do it. That's what counts, is doing what God tells you to do. So then this morning when God said do this, well, that's what we done. When God said move this way, we move that way. If God says move this way, then we move that way. In other words, whatever God tells us to do, that's what we ought to do. And that's what we do here at Bethlehem. Now then, so then we look at this thing and we see God doing something new. What is it? It's such a radical change. It is so new that even the ministers of today don't understand it. I have many ministers that come to me and they say, Brother Pike, do you know what's taking place? They say, I don't understand this thing, Brother Pike. I've had people to come to me and they say, Brother Pike, I'm preaching the same message I preached 10 years ago. And they said 10 years ago the altars filled up with people. But said today the altars don't fill up with people. Tell me what's wrong. Do you know? I know. I thank God that I know. I don't know because I'm any better than those ministers. I don't know because I've merited anything. But I know because God was kind enough to let me know. I know because God told me. God showed me the way, and because God showed me the way, then tonight I know, and tonight I understand. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise God.
So then God is doing a new thing. Today, or that is this morning, God began to move by Spirit. And God began to take a different direction. And I didn't call the people to the altar. That is, to begin with, the Spirit just began to anoint them and they started to come down here. And then I said, well, just be good if we all just come down here. Because God began to move. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, a great revival is breaking out. And I say this again, that when Brother Parnell came down the other night and the young lady came down from Kentucky, this woman that come down with Brother Parnell said, Brother Pike, my mother had a dream. And in this dream said that she saw a great revival break out down at Bethlehem. Down here at this church said she saw a great revival break out. See, that woman, so far as I know, I don't even know her. I don't know that I've ever even seen her. But the thing is, God knows what's going on. And God speaks to His people. That's the beauty of the whole thing, is that God knows and God tells us what's happening. So then we're excited. Why are you excited? Because she had a dream? No. We're excited because what we're doing is what made her dream. See, we're not excited in the sense that we think her dream is going to cause us to get stimulated and have a revival. We're excited because God is giving us a revival at Bethlehem. And God is reviving our hearts and our souls. And God is speaking to people that they might know that He's moving here in the behalf of what we're doing for Christ. This is what we're excited about. See, God said, I'll do a new thing. Now, I know when I say this that we get a repercussion from him. But brother, you might say, Brother Pike, what do you think God is doing at Bethlehem? You say, I don't see what God is doing at Bethlehem. Do you know what God is doing in Bethlehem? God is finishing the mysteries of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, Brother Pike, Brother Branham finished those mysteries. Brother Branham didn't finish those mysteries. Go read the book and make the comparison. Be honest-hearted and be straight and see if it's right. I heard a man not too long ago. He sat down here at the house, one of Brother Branham's major leaders in the church. And he was sitting telling somebody about five or six people how that he read in Brother Branham's book such and such and such and about double marriage. I sat there and listened at him. And I carefully listened to what he said. And I thought, now you know better than that. You didn't read that in Brother Branham's book. You came down here and asked me and I said and taught it to you. That's what the world is doing, you know. If you're Baptist and if you go somewhere and get something else, you take it over to the Baptist church and you say, well, this is what we got from the Baptist. It doesn't matter what anybody says. If you're set in your ways, you're going to take it over to your church and say, this is where we got it. That's what's wrong with the world today. But brother, no matter what you do, God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. You can take that one over there. But by the time you deliver that, we've done got another truckload back here. And you can take that truckload, and by the time you get over there, our well's done produce some more water. Hallelujah! Somebody say hallelujah! Glory to God, we've got a well that never runs dry. Hallelujah! So then God is doing a new thing. What is God doing? He's finishing the mysteries of God. And what is the mysteries of God going to do, Brother Pike? They're going to translate the church. If Brother Branham had finished the mysteries of God, God would have translated the church. You say, Brother Pike, can you prove it by the Bible? I can prove it. Read it in Revelation 10. I'll guarantee you when the mysteries of God are finished, then the church will go out of here. That's what Revelation 10 is all about. So then he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, the Bible said he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Or he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Or we can say it like this, that through the types and the shadows and the allegories of God we can find the mysteries of Christ. Brother David said, as long as I walk through this valley of the shadows, I'm not going to be afraid. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid. I walk through the valley of the shadows, but I am not afraid, he said, for thou art with me. Oh, can you say God's with you tonight? Can you say God's with you tonight? I'm walking through the valley of the shadows, David said, but God is with me. I'm not going to fear any evil. He said, for the Holy Ghost is my comforter. Hallelujah, the word is my comforter, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. That is the word of God, and the Holy Spirit is with me. And David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadows, I'm not going to fear any evil. So then if we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, we're going to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And what does it say concerning Revelation 10? And in that day it says at the sounding of the last trump, the mysteries of God would be finished. When we look at the mysteries of God and we check it out in the original Greek, we find out the Bible said the secret. The secret. It is the secret, the Bible said. Hallelujah, and the secret will be over. And there won't be any secret anymore. God's going to tell us the secret. Paul said, behold, I show you a secret. Not all of us is going to sleep, but we're going to be changed. Hallelujah. Brother, there's got to be a message that's going to change the saints of God. There's got to be something more than's been preached that's going to translate the church. And I thank God tonight we've got it. Hallelujah, we've got it. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you think you've got it. I know we've got it. Hallelujah, there's a whole lot of difference between thinking and knowing. If I've got $10 in my pocket, I know it. You can say you're thinking all day long, but I know it. And brother, if I haven't got $10 and I'm trying to convince you that I got $10, I know it and you'll know it too. But I want you to know that God is finishing the mysteries. Why is He doing it? It had to be finished. The Bible said, and the secret shall be finished. God shall make known the secret. When will God make known the secret? Right here, the Bible said, when the woman's got her feet on the moon. In Revelation 10 and 7, the Bible said, and the mystery of God shall be finished. Said in the days of that voice, when that last trumpet sounds, God will finish the secret. In Revelation 11, 15, the Bible said, in that last trumpet sounded. Hallelujah. And that last trumpet sounded. And the Bible said when it sounded that the woman had her feet on the moon. That's where America's at tonight. With her feet on the moon. And the last trumpet sounded. And the Bible said, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and tell my people of the sins. The Bible said, and that last trumpet sounded, and the mysteries of God was finished. And you say, Brother Pike, how do you know they were finished? The Bible said, in the days of the voice, they'll be finished. Let's look at it and see if it works. 11:15, the voice sounded. Were they finished? They were finished. How do you know? You read the Scripture. What does the Scripture say? The Bible said, and then there came a voice. And the voice said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah! God said, the trumpet sounded. And the voice cried out, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the Bible said, now has come power. Now has come salvation. Now has come strength. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. He that accused them before God day and night. Think now, in your mind every day the devil accuses you, isn't that right? Now think about it. The devil constantly accuses you. He never stops telling you that you're dirty. He tells you that you're dirty and that you're filthy and you don't have God. And he'll bring every ugly, filthy, low-down, ungodly, evil thought that he can scrape up from the abysses. And he'll bring it over and he'll bring it to your thinking. He'll say, now look at you. Now look how dirty you are. Now look how defiled you are. Isn't that right? What is he? He's the accuser of the brethren. Always accusing. You go pray. You fast. You know what? I've got down on my knees, and I've been down there for hours and hours agonizing before God, crying and weeping, and get up off of my knees, and the first thing hit me was a load of dirty filth. What was it? I would be so brokenhearted. I'd say, my God, there ain't no hope. What do you do? What do you do? And I hear that voice from heaven saying, son, I looked down from heaven after the flood. I saw that men's hearts and thoughts were continually evil. And then he'll speak to you and he'll say, as Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. What is it? It's that continual warfare between the inner and the outer man. It's that continual warfare between the body and the soul. It's that old devil Lucifer that's living in the flesh. That's always accusing the brethren. Always accusing the brethren because the redemption of the body hasn't taken place to the extent that we have with the redemption of our body. Though the Bible tells us to be holy in body and spirit, and we are struggling to be holy, and we are casting down imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and we're bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We're doing it because charity thinketh no evil. But brother, at the same time, it's a warfare. Hallelujah. But we're on the winning side. We're more than conquerors through Christ that gave himself for us. Hallelujah. Somebody say, Brother Pike, now when we get a little farther along and we really get a hold of God, said they'll say, then we're going to be perfect. My brother, if you're not perfect tonight, you'll never be perfect.
You take this from me. If what Christ Jesus did for you at Calvary wasn't sufficient to make you perfect, Brother Pike can't preach nothing that'll make you perfect. And the other preachers can't preach nothing that'll make you perfect. Jesus said it's finished. What did he say is finished? He said it's finished. I have perfected forever them that are sanctified. And I've sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus on the tree. Why then let old Lucifer come around accusing? Why is it that fellow keeps coming around accusing? Not only that, but the Bible speaks of the justification by faith. And then the Bible said that God has also, somebody say amen, glorified us. I said the Bible said God hath glorified us. Justification by Martin Luther. Amen. Sanctification by Wesley. Hallelujah. Glorification by Jesus Christ. You love the Lord? Caught you off guard. You thought he was going to say something else, didn't you? He done all of it, justifying and sanctifying too. He just used the trumpet to tell it in the ages, that's all. So then when we think about this glorious thing that's taking place, what is it? God hasn't just justified us. God hasn't just sanctified us, but God has also glorified us. Now then, have I just got to hold on to the next revival? No, no. I'm not worried about holding on to the next revival. It doesn't make any difference to me whether the next revival comes or not. The next revival ain't got nothing to do with me holding on. Folks, I'm in heaven. And the Bible said, rejoice ye that are in heaven. We need to rejoice in God. If you're in heaven, you need to act like you're in heaven. Some folks act like they're in hell. Come on now. They act like they're so depressed and they've lost their last friend that they don't know what to do. And I'll tell you what. It looks like they're completely gone. But folks, are we in heaven or not? Somebody said, Brother Pike, my. Well, that's what the Bible says. Why don't you smart scholars come around and straighten me out? The Bible says, rejoice ye that are in heaven. Somebody would say, but now wait, Brother Pike, it wasn't talking about you and me. That might not have been talking about you, but it was talking about me. Now, you said, now where do you get that? The Bible says that God, now listen, God has chosen us out of this world. Somebody said, well, I'll go along with that. And the Bible says that God hath hid us with Christ, whom the heavens have received. Are you listening? The Bible said at death the Spirit goeth back to God who gave it. Have you folks ever been buried? See there, look at the dead folks. You love Jesus? Everybody ain't dead though, are they? No, let me tell you folks, really, you people that have actually been buried in the name of Jesus Christ, when your body went down into the water, your spirit went back to God who gave it. Hallelujah. Is that right? The Bible said the body without the spirit is dead. And the Bible said concerning the Christian, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of Jesus Christ and alive unto God as one that's resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Isn't that what the Bible says? Now, how am I saved? I'm saved by believing what the Bible says. See, how did you get saved? By believing what the Bible says. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, that isn't the way my church teaches it. I didn't say that your church was saved. I said, faith cometh by hearing of the word. And God said, preach the word, preacher, so they can get saved. Just because you and your church believe something, that don't mean nothing. The devil believes and trembles. I'm talking about faith. Faith don't come by what your grandmother told you. It doesn't come by what you think or what somebody indoctrinated you with. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. The Bible said in the last days of the latter times, said some will depart from the faith. Isn't that right? That don't mean depart from the Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostal church, the Catholic church. That hasn't got anything to do with it. But it means departing from God's word. Many shall depart from God's word in the last times. Hallelujah. Don't you feel like you're in heaven? Everybody feel like you're in heaven. Let me see that. Praise God. Everybody ain't dead. We've got some folks in heaven. Now let me ask you a question. If you know that you're in heaven, if you know that you're there, what do you keep waiting for the rapture for? Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Why do you keep waiting if you're up there? The Bible said, rejoice ye that are in heaven. Not ye that's going to heaven, but ye that are in heaven. Somebody says, my God, this boy's over here preaching Bethlehem is heaven. You love the Lord? What is it? You know, it's like I said the other night. First of all, we say this again. There is no such thing as the word rapture in the Bible to begin with. That is a man-made application, just like millennium is a man-made application. Paul, the revelator, the overseer of the church, which church I belong to, that was over the Gentiles. This Paul, he said, we are changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith, concerning what he preached. And what did he preach? He said, you pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Why did he do that? Because the spirit of revelation is the translation of the church. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I'm going to go up there one day. Up there where? There's already folks that's been up there. Somebody said, but I'm going to go higher than they go. Well, I'll tell you what, you better get on the job if you're going to get out there further than Ranger. Out there a long ways. Somebody said, well, now, Brother Pike, don't you believe you're going to go up there? Did you know, according to the Bible, when Jesus appears in the heavens, it doesn't say anything about him being even as high as it was when they went to the moon. It just says they'll meet him in the air. Now, see, where is heaven? Let's get straightened out on this. Now we say, where is heaven? Somebody say, heaven is up yonder. I asked this the other night. I don't do this to be comical, but I do this to try to get my point over. Where is up yonder? Now we need to know where up yonder is. If we are going up yonder, we need to know where up yonder is. Now I know where heaven is, and I don't mind going to heaven. But I'll tell you, when you start talking about up yonder, I don't know nothing about up yonder. You understand what I'm saying? Now, where is heaven? Somebody would say, well, heaven's up yonder. Well, then where is up yonder? Now, a lot of folks has went up yonder, and they haven't found heaven yet. Not only is it that you can't find the place up there, but brother and sister, the Bible teaches that there is not a city in the world that has a foundation. I preached the other night that foundation that Abraham spoke about. He said, I'm seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. That's got foundation that Christ laid. And other foundations can no man lay. But the teachings of these 12 apostolic leaders. And the Bible said when that great city came down, their names was in the foundation. That was the city Abraham was looking for. But they have learned in going up, that is the astronauts, that there's no foundation to New York. They've learned that Washington don't have a foundation. They've learned that this world is just a floating ball. There is no foundation to it. And I ask again, where is up yonder? Can you tell me where up yonder is? No more than you can tell me where down yonder is. Whether it's up or whether it's down, can you tell me? They said, Paul and them folks that's come here that's done turned the world upside down. They didn't know whether up yonder was up yonder or down yonder was down yonder. They thought Paul had turned the world upside down. All he did was turn it right side up. The devil turned it upside down. God sent Paul to turn it right side up. So then when we say down yonder, folks, you know and I know that there is no boundaries to that place out there. There's no boundaries up yonder, as we say. There's no bottom down yonder. And there's no sides out yonder. What is it? It's that vast eternity where they are going that's following science. That old tree of knowledge is leading them to the black hole. It's leading them out yonder. Now listen. As long as you got time markers and time measurements, as long as you can stretch out something and say it's so long, 6 feet, 3 feet, as long as you got some means and measures of your thought or your thinking to be able to keep your balance, your stability, you're all right. But I want you to know that if you haven't got the mind of Christ and you get out of these little means and measures of your human boundaries, you are in a terrible condition. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean that when you get up to where you can't see the clocks anymore, and you get up there to where there's no beginning and no end anymore, and you get up there to where there's no bottom and no top anymore, you're in a terrible fix. Somebody said, well, bless the Lord, I ain't going out there. My dear beloved friend, you are going out there and there ain't nothing you can do about it. You're going to be bound hand and feet with that old intellectual scientific way of life. Science means knowledge. With that old tree of knowledge of ever learning and never being able to tell nothing. And you're going to wind up in your minds and in your spirits going out into the outer space, as we say. But God made the earth to be inhabited. He just isn't going to let you inhabit it. He's going to kick you off of it, as we say. He's going to kick you out there in the bottomless pit. You love the Lord? See, what is it? I'm saying, where is up yonder and down yonder and over yonder? I'm saying, where is yesterday and tomorrow? Somebody tell me where yesterday is. I can't find it. Have you ever looked for it? Yeah. I can't find it. Where is tomorrow? There ain't no tomorrow. Where is tomorrow? Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, anybody with any reason knows it's yesterday and tomorrow. Well, then I must not have any reason. Because I can't find yesterday and I can't find tomorrow. I've lived for many years and I've never found yesterday. And I keep waiting for tomorrow, and every time I look, it's always today. Somebody say amen. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I can tell you where tomorrow is. Well, tell me where tomorrow is. Somebody said it's over yonder. We're right back where we started. Where is over yonder? So then, where is tomorrow? Brother, sister, there is no such thing as tomorrow. Then what is all of this thing about? It's Revelation 10. And the angel set one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, raised his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that time shall be no more. What is time? It's a state of mind. It's a condition of your mind. It's a state of mind. Somebody would say, but tomorrow, Brother Pike, means the sun goes up and the sun goes down. I said the other night, let's just go catch the plane and ride with the sun and let's don't let it go down. Let's just follow it around. Then where did tomorrow and yesterday go to? What is it? It's a state of mind. I say this again, folks. When Adam lost out with Jesus, when he left the garden, he didn't have anything to keep his mind stable. He had no means of stability. He had no means of understanding, of comprehending measurements. He had to have some kind of a time marker. There had to be something set up. That's how Lucifer got in. That's why the Bible calls the carnal mind darkness. That's why he said, Paul, turn my people from that ignorance to some kind of understanding. He said, darkness is the ignorance, Paul. People talking about time and tomorrow and yesterday and over yonder. He said, they're ignorant, Paul. And Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. When Adam got out there in that darkness, he got out there in that ignorance. And God said, man is ignorant. And he said, don't lean to your own ignorance. The Bible said, don't lean to your own understanding. But we run like a herd of cattle to college. We run like a herd of cattle to school. We run like a herd of cattle to every book and whatever we can get a hold of. God said, leave your ignorance alone. Stay away from your understanding. It's of the devil. Don't lean to your understanding. That's where the problem is already. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, don't you know we've got to have this system of education? You certainly do. If you plan to go to hell, you sure got to have it. Because that's what it takes to get you there. Ever learning and never able to make any sense. Or come to the truth knowledge, which is God's mind. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What is that thing anyway? It's that old twisted up tree of knowledge. What are we doing? We're driving our children into it by herds, and we're killing them. We're turning them into beatniks. We're telling them that they're clever people if they can manipulate, if they can cheat, if they can swindle, if they can pull a good deal, if they can live off the high place of the hog, as we say, and make everybody else their servant. That's foolishness to God. Jesus did it just in reverse. He condescended from a throne. He came down to men of low estate. He washed their feet. Tried not to make himself any reputation. He went just exactly contrary to the way of life. Why did he do that? Surely God has more sense than that. If you want to call that ignorance. Brother, that wasn't ignorance. That was understanding. See, he just straightened out the thing. Now you understand what I'm saying? All right. So then this time thing that we're talking about. Where does it get started? When man had to have something for stability, he stood out there and he looked at the sun. And God, having to make everything follow a type and a shadow, he let there be a sun down and he let there be a sun up. And since man, there's two parts of him. There's the dark side of man in ignorance, and there's the light side of man if he's born again. And the sunlight of God's glory, the day star, shines on one side of him. And the darkness of Lucifer covers the other side. And when man lays down and goes to sleep, it's a type of dying and resurrection. Whereas God said, I'll hate your image in the morning if you don't take on the image of Christ. Because you're born in that bastard image. Now then, let's look at it for just a minute. When that sunlight came down, man set up that little old fin and let that shadow hit it. That is, if the sun come down, the shadow went this way. Then he knew something was going on. If it went this way, he knew something was going on. So he drawed him a little circle. The old Indian death walk. You know, walking in a circle and never getting out of the wilderness. He made himself a little old circle. When he made himself a circle, he broke it down just as much as he could. He brought it into a numerical order. Set that little old fin up there and watch that sun move that little shadow around. And when that shadow started here and got back to where it started from, he had him a time system. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Had him a time system. And right in the midst of that great one eternal day, that from everlasting to everlasting, all of a sudden a little old thing sprang up called time. So man could keep his stability. And from that little point of life, as we say, all the way over to Revelation 10, it continued 100 years and 1,000 years and 2,000 years. And it continued on until one day God got tired of it. And he sent somebody and they screamed out, time shall be no more. Take your clocks, almanacs, time markers, throw them into the ocean. We're not time creatures. We're not of the devil. We're not born of Lucifer. We are eternal creatures. Before the world ever was, I am, Jesus said. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but that was Jesus. I know that, but that was me. Oh, my God. Somebody said, now he's God. He done gone from preaching heaven at Bethlehem to being God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. The Bible said, I'm bone of the bone of Jesus, and I'm flesh of the flesh of Jesus. And Jesus said, lest you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Somebody say, hallelujah. Somebody say, now, Brother Pike, when we get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in heaven. Somebody said, now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. He said, there am I in heaven. There am I in the midst of them. Now, the Bible says, there am I in the midst of them. Somebody said, now, that's the way it goes. But he said, Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, explain this thing to me. He said, I'm in heaven, Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, I don't understand it. I don't understand that. Jesus said, no man has ascended up into heaven except the Son of Man, even Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven. He looked at Nicodemus and he said, who is in heaven? Nicodemus couldn't put that together, could he? He kept looking at Jesus. Did you know that's what's wrong with you? You can't put it together. You keep looking at me. That's what the problem is. You know how you can put it together? Get in the mind of Christ, my brother. Get in the mind of Christ, my sister. The Bible said not to know any man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus Christ was made a quickening spirit. If you forget about my flesh and you think of my spirit, then you'll see and understand. Jesus said, tell me who do men say that I am. Well, anybody could have said, well, we know you're Jesus. You're born of the Virgin Mary. Your daddy's the carpenter. Somebody said, why? Anybody would know that. They'd have to be ignorant if they didn't know that. Jesus just walked on by and said, Peter, tell me, who do men say that I am? He was interested. Peter just as if to say, well, I'm not too sure about that. But one thing I am sure about, thou art the Christ of the living God. I know that you're Christ. I'm not going to know you after the flesh, Jesus. The Bible said concerning Paul, we have known Jesus after the flesh. But from henceforth we know him no more after the flesh, nor any other person after the flesh. For we are made quickening spirits, and the second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. I know one thing, I know that thou art the Christ. So then, we say, where is heaven? Where is God? Where is this kingdom of God? The Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And the Bible said, Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Now then, since the law and the prophets are gone, then the kingdom is here. And the Bible said, go into all the world, preach this gospel of the kingdom so the end can come. And the Bible said down there that they preached the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. Why did they preach the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus? Because the kingdom of God is now in the earth, and the only door to that kingdom is Jesus Christ. That's the name. I am the door, Jesus said. John, the 4th chapter, saw a door open in heaven. What was that door? That was the door that Peter opened with the key. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, this was way down here at the end of the church ages. Now, if you go back and check it, it was just a few short years after Calvary that John was exiled and John saw the revelation. Right after Peter was given the keys, then John saw the door open. It's just taken us a long time to believe it. It's just taken a long time for the generations to get here that's supposed to go. You say, Brother Pike, what are you trying to tell me? What are you preaching to me? I'm trying to say, folks, it's time to get started on the way home. I'm telling you, it's a whole lot later than you think it is. This thing about the church sitting around waiting for a rapture. I say this again, and I don't say it to be comical. I say if you're waiting for the rapture and I'm waiting for the rapture and they're waiting for the rapture, you missed it. Somebody say, what are you talking about when you snap your finger? The Bible said in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, you didn't have time to get ready. It left. You missed it. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said we're sitting here waiting to be translated to go in the rapture. You missed it. Somebody said, but you don't think it'll take place that fast, do you? The Bible said in the twinkling of an eye, you missed it. See me blink my eye? You see how foolish it is, sitting around waiting for something like that. That wasn't what God told us to do. The Bible tells us we are changed from glory unto glory. There is something for the church to do. You've got to live holy. The Bible says to have the fruits of holiness in your life. And then the end thereof is eternal life. This foolishness about sitting around for rapture. The devil wouldn't have nothing no better. Brother, let me tell you something. You've got to go to school to get a diploma. You don't just walk in the front door and out the back. You don't just go in and say, I'm here, give it to me, let me go. You start in kindergarten and then you go to elementary school and then you go to high school and then you go to college. You put some time in there. You've got to put some time in this. It's going to take days. It's going to take weeks. It's going to take months for you that's got that kind of time. Did you know that? Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I believe all you got to do is believe. I believe that all you got to do is believe. But the Bible said your believing is shown by your works. So show me you're believing. That's all I'm asking you to do is believe. The kind of thing that you call believing is not faith. If it's a matter of believing, I tell you again, the devil believes. But I'm talking about salvation by faith. What is faith? Faith is in the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? From glory to glory, from faith to faith, you're changed. That is, I am, as I say so many times, instantly within my spirit translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. I've been translated into heaven just as much as Enoch was translated into heaven. Enoch was translated into heaven by faith because there was no law. Moses and Elijah has to come back and die because there was a law. I'm over here past Calvary. I'm translated into the kingdom of God because there is no law. It's folded up and laid away. Enoch being the church, I'm in the same condition Enoch's in. I've been translated into the kingdom of God. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, see, it's not exactly. I'd like for you to show it to me if it's not exactly. Why did Paul preach it that way in the New Testament? Paul preached translation by faith and spoke of Enoch being translated by faith. Somebody would say, but he's going to come back and die. That's like Brother Ingram up here. Not Brother Ingram, somebody else come yesterday, I believe it was. And they was telling me they was trying to talk to somebody and this person said, well, Enoch has just got to come back and die. The minister said, he's got to come back and die. I say this again, if Enoch come back into this world and died, we might as well throw the Bible in the ocean. The Bible says that Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death, that he should not die. How did he do that? By believing in God. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, the Word of God wasn't back there. And you say that faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. Well, then how does the Bible say that the Scriptures appeared unto Abraham? See, when you say Scripture, you're just talking about scribings. The scribe scribbled a Scripture. He scribbled, and that's what we call a scribing, a Scripture. Isn't that right? Just like we used to say they legislated. Today we say they legislated. They don't legislate today. They used to use ledgers that they made out of slate. That was a legislate. They don't do that today, but we still call it legislation. How do you understand what I'm saying? They don't file them things away like that anymore. You understand what I'm saying? So then Enoch went into heaven. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you surely don't mean to stand there and tell me you're in heaven. I certainly do. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, don't you know that they couldn't see Enoch anymore? Enoch, you can't see me anymore. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. Let's keep our stability now. Let's don't get beside ourselves. Paul said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for God. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I'm looking at you. You're just seeing lying vanities, that's all. That's all it is. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, I know you're there. All right, you see that wall? Is that wall there or is it not there? Somebody said, you bump your head on it, you know it's there. Well, why did Jesus walk right through it? Because it was a lying vanity. Is that right? Somebody say, well, I tell you what, Brother Pike, if you're trying to be cute, I'd love to see you walk through it. I can't. Somebody say, well, I know you can't. Why can't you? Because I done been through it. I went through it a long time ago. You understand what I'm saying? Lying vanities. Jonah in the belly of the whale said it's a lying vanity. The Bible said calling those things that are not as though they are. Somebody would say, well, you expect me to do that, Brother Pike? I'll tell you what, if you got cancer and somebody prays for you, if you ever get healed of cancer, you got to believe it's gone. Somebody say, well, I can see whether it's gone or not. Not if it's on the inside, you can't. Somebody said, well, I can just tell it by believing it. Somebody said, I can feel it. Yeah, I know a lot of people feel like they're going to heaven when they're going to hell. A lot of people feel like they're going to be a millionaire when they die a pauper. A lot of folks thought they were going to be a millionaire. They just had that feeling, but it didn't work out like that. A lot of people feel good that's got cancer that's going to die in a little while. So then you say by feeling. Feeling, you go by your thinking. You go by your believing. If I pray for you tonight and I say by His stripes you were healed, if you believe it, my brother, you're healed. Somebody say, Brother Pine, do you want me to confess a lie? Can God's word be a lie? You mean to tell me you confess God's word and God's word is a lie? God's word is not a lie. You can change it into a lie by disbelieving it. That's the way you make God's word a lie, and that in your mind, because you know you can't change God's word. You say, what are you trying to tell me, Brother Pike? I'm trying to tell you, if God says the world is blue, then it's blue. If God says the world is pink, then it's pink. You say, but Brother Pike, I can look at it. But the Bible teaches that you're not to look at it like that. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I can look and I can think and I can tell what color it is. The Bible said, lean not to your own understanding and your own thinking. To cast down every thought that you got. Get rid of that thing. That's what the lying vanity is to start with. That's the mind of Lucifer to start with. That's how it all got here to start with. If Eve had kept thinking right, everything would have been all right. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, well, what do you want me to do? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What did He do? Always the things that pleased the Father. Jesus believed it. It didn't make no difference what it was. He believed it. He believed it. If the Bible says, I have passed from death unto life, then brother, don't look at me as a dead man. You say, well, ain't you a dead man, Brother Pine? If you're a Christian, that man's buried over yonder. Now, if you can find him, we'll go look at him. You understand what I'm saying? All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. It's not me living, but Christ. The life I now live, I live by the Son of God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, they buried you and then you come back up. Now, that's no kind of burial right there. You never seen a dead man buried and come back up. And we ever seen a man put in a casket, buried, and come back up? See, that's not a true burial. I was buried and I didn't come back up. You understand? You say, well, who is this standing out here tonight? I'm going to let you guess.
You say, but Brother Pike, I see Brother Pike. Then you're a grave robber. And then besides that, you're doing better than I could do in that because you couldn't find him if you went over to look for him. What is it that I'm seeing, Brother Pike? You're having strong hallucinations. And you're seeing lying vanities. How do I look at my brother? I look at him through the eyes of Almighty God. How does God see him? All right, let's analyze it just for a minute. I pass from death unto life. I'm alive forevermore. I've been chosen out of this world. I'm hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. I've been made perfect forever. The Bible says I'm without spot, I'm without wrinkle, I'm without blemish. And I am the bride that Christ is coming back for. I've got on the wedding garment, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That garment that's been tried in hell, in the fire. I've got it on. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. For as many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How is it you say you see me when I got on Christ? See, you're blind. And the Bible said if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. You need to get away from being blind, folks. Let God give you sight. Awake thou that sleepest. God will give thee light. So then, where am I tonight? Somebody said, well, I'm waiting for the rapture. Well, I'll tell you what, you missed it. Somebody said, I remember them people back there preaching the resurrection was past. I remember that. I guess that makes you a real smart scholar. See, I'm not preaching the resurrection is past. I'm preaching I am the resurrection. Oh, now that really fixes it up, don't it? Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, because he is the resurrection. Ain't nobody ever come out of that grave but Jesus. Let me say this, folks. I've said this before. Just a little illustration to show you what I'm saying here. And I wish that we had time to preach. It'd take all night like Paul did, but I wish we had time to do it. Let me tell you. If in the days of Noah, there was only one man that had favor with God, and by that the whole family was saved. If in that time, there was only 8 people that escaped, as we would say. And if God come down to Sodom and Gomorrah and cut that thing in half. And then when God got ready to deliver them out of Egypt, take them into the promised land, he cut it in half again and 1 but 2 saved. And now here we are over here in the new world, and God cut it in half and 1 but 1 saved. You say, who is that? That's me. Somebody said, but how did you do it? Because I'm born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Hallelujah. Jesus said, unless you believe I'm he, you'll die in your sins. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I mean that Jesus Christ is the only one that's heir to the glory of God. God cut that thing in half and there's just one, that's Jesus Christ. And brother, if you're not bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, you are not a Christian and you are not saved. Because that's the only one that God saved. Because he's the only one that's heir to the glory of God. It's Christ within you, the hope of glory. If you don't have Christ in you, you don't have any hope of glory. I'm going to say this in close because I ain't even got halfway yet. Am I alive from the dead? Now listen to me. Am I alive from the dead? Now folks, we got to get over the Jordan. How do you know that? What is the Jordan? It's your carnal mind. What is this world? It's a state of mind. What is heaven? It's a state of mind. Now somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't expect me to believe that. When I see all of these beautiful things around me, I believe in a world. That's because you're worldly. See, you say, I believe in something I can feel. That's because you go by feeling. Now, the Bible said the just shall live by faith. You look around, you say, all of these things I can see. Now think of it like this. What sounds the most ignorant? Well, what sounds the most ignorant? Scientists say there's 22 conductive nerves from my eyes to my brain. Now, am I to tell you that I can see God on these little old 22 conductive nerves? Can I actually say to you that I can see God on these little nerves? Can I do that? Somebody would say, well, sure you can. You mean when God appears now? The Bible said after the millennium, God, the great white throne, comes now. The Ancient of Days, and the Bible said the sea fled away, and the mountains fled away, and heaven fled away, and everything fled away, and nothing was left. And you're going to see him with these little old 22 conductive nerves to the eye of the brain. You see how ignorant that is, folks? You can't see God. The Bible said no man can see God and live. That is, you can't see God in the flesh. No man has ever seen God at any time. Somebody said, well, Moses did. The Bible said Moses saw the Lord. The Bible said God is the great light unto which no man can approach, who no man has seen. Not at any time have they seen him. Jesus Christ alone, he dwells in that light because the fullness of the light's in him. And if you've got that light, it's the same way. This life and light we've handled, the Bible said. That is the flesh of Jesus Christ. So then, how do I see God? The pure in heart shall see God. God comes by revelation. God comes, Paul said, by comprehending the heights, comprehending the depths, comprehending the length, comprehending the width. God is a spirit, according to John 4:24. No man can't see God. So then when you say you see these things, all of that is, that's just a reaction of the nerves. All it is, even science has proved, it's nothing but atomic particles that's put together. That every bit of it can decompose, even from their understanding. And we say mind over matter even in the world. We say scientists' minds over matter. That's true because that's the mind of the devil. It's over matter to the extent that God allows Satan to work with it in the days of grace. But brother, that's not mind over matter. It's the mind of Jesus Christ that's over all form of matter. It's God's mind that spoke it into existence, not the devil. So then it's a state of mind. Everything is a state of mind. The Bible said God has placed the world within your heart. Somebody say, but I'm in the world, Brother Pike. Well, why did the Bible say the world's in you? The Bible said he placed it in your heart. The world is in your heart. Somebody said, well, say, but Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? Well, my brain is in my head, but my mind is in my heart. As a man thinketh in his mind, in his heart, so he is. If he thinks that's the wall, he'll bust his head on it. You understand what I'm saying? If you think that you're in the world, then you're a prisoner of it. Is that right? Jesus said, say what you will, don't doubt in your heart, it'll come to pass. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. It's a state of mind. So what happened to Adam and Eve? They got the wrong mind. When they got the wrong mind, it took them away from life. What happened to Jesus? He took the right mind. The same thing had happened to me. What happened to me? I took the right mind. Well, what did that do for you? I passed from death unto life. The same way that they passed from life unto death. We got to get over the Jordan. What is the Jordan? The carnal mind. To be carnally minded is death. Don't lean to that carnal mind. That's where the trouble started with the tree of knowledge. It's your thinking that gets you in trouble. It's your mind that keeps you in bondage. The world is in your heart. If you get the mind of Lucifer out of your heart, you don't have the world anymore. If the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. How do I get to heaven? The Bible said the kingdom of heaven is within my heart. What is heaven? It's the mind of Christ. What is the world? It's Lucifer's mind. The Bible said he savors the things that be of this world. He's the prince of this world. Well, what are you trying to do, Brother Pike? I'm trying to cast the devil out of you. I'm trying to preach the word of God. And the Bible said with his word he cast the devil out of them. With his word he cast out the unclean spirits. The Bible said faith in the word of God translated Enoch. Paul said, be you therefore transformed by the renewings of your mind. So then if in my spirit I am translated into the kingdom of God because I believe then my spirit is one with God's spirit. If in my
understanding, as we say, from day to day. I can transformate and be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Then in my progressive pilgrimage from my birth over to my death, as we would say, then I am transformating. Ever since I've been born again, I've been transformating in my mind. Then what happens to me? When I am properly transformed in my mind, then my body is transfigured. Somebody would say, well, now there you are. There you are, right there. We are waiting for the transfiguration of the body. Yet the Bible says that you're not to know me after the flesh. How can you wait for my transfiguration? You're still looking at lying vanities. The Bible says I am complete in God. He sees me complete. He sees me as bone of the bone of Christ Jesus, flesh of the flesh of Christ Jesus. He sees me having passed from death unto life. He sees me having been chosen out of this world and hid with Christ in God. He sees me having made it over the boundaries of death. He sees me never coming into condemnation. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, there's one thing about it. We've all got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and to that I agree. But folks, I'm going to show you here, if you've never considered it, how foolish it is in some of the teachings of today and why the devil has got the church in bondage like he has. I want to ask you this question just as soberly as I know how. Now, we're all living in this manner, in the church world. Today I've got it, tomorrow I haven't. Today I've got it, maybe tomorrow it slipped. I don't know whether I'm right today or whether I'm not right. On the other hand, we got a group that says I'm predestinated. I don't have to worry about it one way or the other. I'm predestinated. And I agree to that, but not the way that you teach it. Somebody would say, well, what do you mean? I mean, you're either predestinated to heaven or hell. And when you're saying you're predestinated and you've got the idea that you're on your way to heaven, there's a good possibility you're on your way to hell. I believe in predestination. I believe that I'm elect according to the foreknowledge of God, and I don't believe anybody can lay anything to my charge because I'm perfected forever. But the Bible said God has predestinated me in Christ, which means my life abides in the Word. He said, make your calling and election sure. See if you got the fruits of holiness. See if you got the nature of Jesus. See if this is the kind of life you're living. Because if the nature of Jesus is not in you, then you won't have any fruits unto holiness. And if you don't have any fruits unto holiness, you don't have the end thereof, eternal life. You are before of old ordained unto condemnation. To be burned, beast, some brute beast. Now look at it like this. I will stand before God. You will stand before God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, we don't know what we are and where we're going. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. That I agree with. He that is predestinated of God will endure to the end. That's the only ones that can. They're sealed with the nature of Christ. Now, but here's the thing. Do I go before Jesus? Do I stand before God at the end of the way? Do I stand there and God says, 1, 2, 3, this is in your behalf and this isn't. You done 2 things right, you done 1 thing wrong. Then somebody else comes up, he said, you done 2 things wrong and 1 thing right. You lost out. Now you know it isn't going to be like that. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you got to stand there and give an account for the deeds that's done in your body. I know that, not 1, 2, 3, but the kind of deeds that you've done. Whether it was good or bad. Now, when we stand before God, now look at it like this. I ask you this question, folks. Do you actually believe that you and I are the true saints of God, are going to be raptured out of this world before the tribulation period, caught up to be with God, go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And after we live with Him 1,000 years, God says, now, stand before me and I'm going to decide whether you're fit or not. Are you listening? Do you believe that kind of teaching?
Don't you know that if God raptures us out or translates us out of this world, that we're not going to stand before God to see if we're good enough to be His wife? If we was good enough to be translated, don't you think that'll take care of it? Do you think God's going to live with a woman for 1,000 years and call her a harlot or stand her before Him to see whether she's good enough to be His wife? See, it don't fit together, does it? No, that's why I'm telling you folks, judgment begins at the house of God. Whosoever sins the minister remits, they are remitted. Whosoever sins the minister retains, they are retained. Some men's sins go before them to the judgment, that is confessed sins, and some follow after them which is unconfessed sin. The one that's unconfessed is the one that has to answer to God. Now, Jesus died for us. He made us perfect. There is no sin to us. There is no sin to a Christian. Let's look at this now. A Christian cannot sin. There is no such thing as a Christian sinning. He cannot sin. Now the question is this. If a Christian cannot sin, tell me, how can he die? How can he die? The Bible said the sting of death is sin. And if a Christian can't sin, and the Bible said, he that is born of God, he cannot sin. It didn't say maybe he wouldn't sin, or if he does good, he won't sin, or one day he sins and the next day God cleans him up. It says, he that is born of God, he cannot sin. Why is it that he cannot sin? Because he is a God. Jesus said, ye are gods. Now you know, as I say so often, if you're born of a dog, you're a dog. If you're born of a pig, you're a pig. If you're born of a man, you're a man. If you're born of God, you're a God. Because a God begets gods. This day have I begotten myself a son. They called him God. And then wanted to stone him to death. He said, for what good work? They said, you being a man, make yourself God. He said, well, I called you gods too. Why get so excited over it? This day have I begotten myself a God. If it's God, how could he be gotten anything else? How do you understand what I'm saying? So then, can we sin? Can a God sin? We are bone of God's bone, flesh of God's flesh. Can we then sin? He that is born of God cannot sin. If he cannot sin, can he die? No, he cannot die. Now, wait a minute. Somebody said, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike. We're waiting on the rapture. Let's don't confuse this thing now. We're waiting on the change. Now, what are we waiting on? Well, we're waiting on that time, you know. Well, it's here. Said, but now, Wayne, Brother Pike, you have to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. All men have to die. Well, what happened to Enoch? That he should not see death. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, it's appointed unto man, all men to die. But I'm not talking about men. I'm talking about gods. God broke the appointment of Calvary. The Bible said he looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prison, broke the appointment. There is no appointment with gods to die. Gods can't die. If you could die, you wouldn't be a god. That's what a god is. That's why Jesus got up out of the grave. Jesus couldn't die. He tasted death. But the Bible said the grave couldn't hold him. He was God. It can't hold you no more than it can hold Jesus. To corrupt, you have to sin. If there's no sin, there's no corruption. If there's no corruption, then the grave can't hold you. That means that gods cannot sin. If you cannot sin, then you cannot die. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. What is the mystery, Paul? If you cannot sin, you cannot die. That's what the mystery is. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Why? Because we're going to discover that he that cannot sin cannot die.
And we're going to get wide awake and not be sleepy anymore. Who wants to sleep when there's so much to be done out there in eternity? I don't even feel drowsy, do you? If a man cannot sin, he cannot die. If you can't die, why not believe what God said about it? Why don't we believe what God said about it? Is God a liar? God is not a liar. If we're in heaven, then why don't we confess that we're in heaven? If the Bible said, rejoice ye that are in heaven, why don't we rejoice as those that are in heaven? If we cannot sin, why don't we tell the world that God has delivered us from sin? If we cannot die, why don't we tell the world that we cannot die? Now, we don't have time to go into it tonight, but we got it detailed on tape. You can get it. It's detailed to show you just exactly what we're saying, step by step. Brother, sister, the time is here. What is this, Brother Park? What in the world are you preaching? I'm preaching that the translation has taken place. Ooh, somebody says, let me out of this place. Brother, they don't have to let you out of this place. You never did get in this place. You say, Brother Pike, do you have the audacity to stand there and tell me that the translation has taken place? I ask you this question. Do you have the audacity to stand there and tell me it hasn't taken place? The Bible said, for God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. It said that Enoch was translated by faith. You say, but Brother Pike, what about the flesh? The flesh don't have nothing to do with it. The Bible says the flesh profiteth nothing, not to know any man after the flesh. What's that got to do with it? Somebody said, well, you just got to die in my book. Well, in my book, you got to live. Praise God. So much for the land of the living, so much for the land of the dying. Now, I say this again, seriously, from my heart. Folks, what good is it going to do you to die? David said, I can't praise God in the grave. God hath no pleasure in death. We've got a book we just come out with. God hath no pleasure in death. Death is God's enemy. He doesn't have any friendship with death. God has never wanted death to start with. God didn't instigate death. God didn't create death. God didn't bring death. The Bible said death came by man. So there's one way to get rid of it. How's that? By man. What you've done, then you need to undo it. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I can't. Oh, yes, you can. Jesus made it possible. Death came by the first man, Adam. Life come by the first man, Jesus. You understand? That is, if death come upon all men by Adam, then life come upon all men by Jesus. If we believed unto death because God said, Adam, you're going to die, why come we can't believe in life? Because God said, Adam, you're going to live. The second man, Adam. Why is it we can't say the same thing? Because our mind has been programmed the other way. You got to be born again. You got to be converted. You got to be regenerated and get out of the Adam generation there and get in the Christ generation. Be the posterity of Christ. You say, well, now where does this take us? If we believe this, Brother Pike, where is it going to take us? If thou canst believe, Jesus said, it will take you to heaven. I tell you, it's one that's already in heaven. And that's where it took me. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What kind of day is this? John called it the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, what is this? This is his rest. All that have entered into this rest, they don't worry about working their way to heaven. He said, well, what do they work for? How can a tree that's an apple tree do anything but bear apples? Now, I said, well, I've seen some apple trees bearing something else. You've never seen an apple tree bearing nothing else. It bears apples. Now, I said, well, now you can graft in, you know, a lemon branch into an orange tree. I know that. But if you'll go back, the tree doesn't bear the fruit. It's the limb. It's still a lemon limb. It's still the lemon limb that's doing the bear. Now the life that comes through the tree Now that life is the same as in the orange, but the nature that brings that lemon is the nature that's in that limb. Somebody say amen. How do you know where you're going tonight? How do you know where you've been? Now the question is, how many know where you are? Rejoice ye that are in heaven. Welcome to heaven. Glory to God. We made it. We made it. Somebody said, I'm waiting for the rapture. Well, that's fine. When you make it, come on up here where we're at. Isn't it wonderful to be in heaven? Sure, that's what it's all about, folks. It's a state of mind. It's the mind of Christ. These things was finished from the foundation of the world. That little old time element that was thrown out there ain't no more than a hill of beans. God said, away with that thing. It wasn't there to start with. It's a lying vanity. It never was there. We from everlasting to everlasting, and before the world ever was, we are. We're sons and daughters of God. Somebody said, well, I know a lot of folks that's going to die. Well, that's fine. If you're going to die, that's your business. But I know a lot of folks that ain't going to die. Behold, I show you a mystery. We'll not all sleep but be changed. Mine said, well, when you're out there in the dirt, then you'll know. No, the Bible said the dead know not anything. So then, where are we? We're in heaven. Rejoice, ye that are in heaven. How did we get there? Well, if you can't die, where could you be? Can I say this in closing? And I really will close. If you can't die, where will you be? Everybody grabbing after everything. Why worry about it? The man's going to live the longest is going to own it anyway. I don't care what you work for in Bill. You'll be a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. When you're dead, it's going to be mine anyway. The Bible said God gives to the wicked travail to heap together treasures so that Brother Pike could enjoy them, all the righteous. Now, so then, I'm in heaven. You're in heaven. Jesus said he was in heaven. I'm hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Now, I'm a Christian. I passed from death unto life. I made it over Jordan. I quit thinking my own thoughts. I quit believing my own believing. That's what Joshua was for, was to take him over the Jordan. Moses had him in a wilderness. Let's go hunting. Let's go fishing. But God said, this ain't no time to fish and hunt, Esau. Let's go into Canaan. Let's be concerned about this birthright. Let's get into Canaan. Jacob said, I ain't got time for all that hunting. I'm interested in that birthright. Let's get into that birthright. Have you got the birthright tonight? See, get over the Jordan. Somebody said, Brother Pike, the Jordan, have you ever been baptized in the Jordan? I'm baptized in the Jordan. Did you know some folks are so carnal-minded that getting over the Jordan is crossing that river? Well, that wasn't hard where we was at. It wasn't very wide. About before me hit that door, we'd be no problem where we was at. Folks, don't you know that God is a spirit? That he talks to you through the old Indian sign language and types and shadows? Don't you know that getting over the Jordan is that carnal mind of death that Lucifer started with the tree of death and the tree of knowledge? Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. And the curse came from that thing. Don't you know it's a state of mind, and getting over the Jordan is getting over that Lucifer mind of death, your own reasoning of the love of carnal things. Now I say this again, you can have all the carnal things you want to, but you can't love carnal things. Paul said, I sow unto you spiritual, I'm going to reap you carnal. If other get them, I can get them too. But he said that though you have these carnal things, you're to use them. You're not to love them. Lucifer just doesn't love them or use them. He loves them. He loves the things of this world. And if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. So then get over the Jordan. Get over the love of the world. Get over your own reason. Quit leaning to your own understanding. Whatever God says, that's what it is. If your wife don't like it, it don't make no difference. She's just carnal-minded. If the husband don't like it, it don't make any difference. He's just carnal-minded. If brother and sister don't like it, it don't make any difference. If the preacher don't like it, it don't make any difference. If the president doesn't like it, it doesn't make any difference. God said it, that's the way it is. He spoke the world into existence by his word. If God's word says it, it don't make no difference who tells me different. That's the way it is. I believe it. You love the Lord? The just shall live by believing.
The just shall live by faith. Are you going to live by faith? Are you living by faith? All right, if you're living by faith tonight, you're in heaven. If you're living by faith, you made it. If you're living by faith, you're perfected forever. If you're living by faith, you're justified, sanctified, glorified. If you're living by faith, then all things are yours. If you're living by faith, rejoice, ye that are in heaven. That's what's going to make the difference. When the message is preached and the people believes it, that's the end. That's the end. And that's the finishing of the mysteries of God. That is the end. That does away with what we call time. That does away with death, because death comes with time. We've got some teachings on tape where we preach how death got here, how time caused it. Brother, sister, the hour's here when time shall be no more. That's why on our little flag you read this: and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and forever. I want you to stand with me. We still, tonight, like the Queen of Sheba said, the half has never yet been told. Tonight, we haven't been able to go into any detail. And you may not understand. But let me tell you, it's real and it's true. In a little while, you're going to know that it's real. When people are frustrated and they run from coast to coast and they look for the answer and they wonder why the rapture hadn't taken place, and they wonder, you know, right now they're beginning to wonder. They say, God, you promised to rapture the church, but now the church is, what we know as the church has got so dirty and filthy you couldn't even take it into heaven if you come after it. How are you going to rapture the church? The Bible said if God didn't show up the days for the elect's sake, there wouldn't be no flesh. All flesh is corrupted its way before God. The Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. All flesh had corrupted its way before God. How then is God going to rapture any flesh? Brother, you're looking at it wrong. Paul the Revelator said, from glory to glory. These scientific minds of so-called ministers talk about a rapture. The Bible said, preach the word. That's not the word. Change from glory to glory. What you need to do is get up and be about your Father's business and go on in the word from faith to faith and glory to glory, and quit sitting around waiting for something that's going to take place, as I say, that quick. You've got to believe your way into heaven. Enoch was translated by faith. That's the way he got into heaven. There ain't no way to be translated except by believing. This is a spiritual thing, a state of mind. The world is in you, unless the kingdom of God is in you. You got one or the other, and whatever you got in you, as you think, so you are. If you think within this environment, then this is your world. If you think within that environment, that's your world. Let your conversation be in heaven. Meditate in His laws day and night. Keep your mind in heaven. Oh, how beautiful to dwell in heaven. Beloved friend, it's so restful. It's so wonderful to cease from your own works and enter into this beautiful rest of God, where you believe and you're confident and you're at rest. What a beautiful thing. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you may be in heaven, but boy, I'm having it rough. Jesus said, in the world you'll have trouble. Get out of the world. Get out of the world. Said, in me you'll have peace. If you're looking for peace in the world, you're never going to have it. But brother, if you'll rest in God and you'll believe in Christ, you'll find that inner man will have peace. Paul said, outside there's fightings, conflicts, problems. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring any peace in this world. I come to bring a sword and set one against another. You're looking for it in the wrong place. Religion won't do it. It takes faith in God. And that by the word. For there's no faith outside of the word. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, oh sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, for I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest did may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing? For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Oh, it's peace What a wonderful peace coming down from my Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in your fathomless billows of love. You know what? The world has missed it. Like Brother Branham said one time, it'll move right through them and they'll never receive it. They'll never see it. He called it the third pull. It'll move right through them. He said they'll never see it. Like a thief in the night, he comes to gather the jewels and the world doesn't see it. In the night of your dark human reason, that intellectual knowledge, he comes and steals out the soul. And God has been translating his darling people into his marvelous kingdom. And when the last one is translated in, they go through the door. Then the door is closed to the Gentiles and nobody else can be translated in. Nobody can go through that door anymore. Beloved friend, from the time you was born, that enter you, that man-child was caught up to the throne. Tonight, you'd reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin in the body, but your innermost being at death went back to God who gave it. God is a spirit, and that spiritual being went back to the Father of spirits. It departed this body. He chose it out of this world, hid it with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the millennium, the restoring, the restoration of all things. That's the translation. That's the rapture. You say, Brother Pike, don't you believe there's going to be a change in the body? I say that there'll be a change because the Bible says there'll be a change. Thessalonians says there'll be a change. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, there'll be a change from mortality to immortality, from terrestrial to celestial, from corruptible to incorruptible. There'll be a change. You missed it. You understand what I'm saying? My brother, sister, if that's what you're waiting for, that's foolishness. It's the people that love God. that go through this innermost change from faith to faith and glory to glory. And they receive this knowledge that they cannot sin, that they cannot die, and the heart is fixed. And through that faith, when the Lord appears, they didn't miss it, they made it. They didn't miss it. When the Lord appears that quick, why? Because they're already ready. They're already ready. You love Jesus? Let's sing this little chorus together. We're going to let you go in just a few minutes. It's cold outside. You better be glad to be in here. Let's sing this together, Ken. Now the Bible said, rejoice ye that are in heaven. I want to ask you again. How many folks we got here that lives in heaven? Sure, there's some of them folks in heaven. And don't you go away from here and say nothing about Brother Pike. Just about every one of you have been talking about being in heaven. I ain't going to ask you how many of you ain't in heaven. Now, if you're in heaven, the Bible said rejoice. So let's sing this song. Give me another key, Frank. I'm going to enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm going to enter His courts with praise. I'm going to say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. I'm going to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. We're going to enter His gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We're going to enter His courts with praise. We're going to say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it with me. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. I'm going to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Don't you feel good? Sure, you're in heaven. How could you feel any other way? Ain't no bad feelings in heaven. You know what? Just think, folks, what it's going to be like when 10,000 times 10,000 hears this message and they realize that they can't sin no more, that the accuser of the brethren's been cast out. You know when he's cast out? When the days of grace is over. You know when the days of grace is over? We got it on tape. When the blood comes off of the mercy seat, Lucifer goes out, no more accusing of the brethren. You know when he goes out? When you believe him out. That's when the redemption of the body comes in. God paid the price at Calvary. We're not waiting for the redemption of the body. We're waiting to wit, to recognize, accept a finished work. He redeemed the body. That's what redemption was about. That's the purchase possession. Just under the tutors till the bar mitzvah, that's all. Now are ye sons, beloved. It just don't appear so the world can see it. It's heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. But you'll outshine the noonday sun if you take your garment off. Now, think what it's going to be like when 10,000 people gets to realizing that they're already in heaven. And they get to knowing that they did make it. And they're not struggling and staggering and stumbling. Think what they're going to do in that short work cut
short because people are righteous. I say again, a quick work cut short in righteousness because righteous people can do it quick. These half backslidden folks can't do it. It takes us an eternity just about it. But when everybody begins to accept the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and only the sincere, godly, holy ones that's been sincere will be able to manifest that faith and believe this message. But think what it's like when this thing begins to grow to them. You know, you get it in your head up here. That's not faith. That's an indoctrination. It has to be preached and put up here. But after a while, it's going to slip down here and it's going to become faith in that mind and in that heart. For with the heart, man believeth. And think what it's like when this is preached and all of a sudden it slips down the heart. And people really begin to think in their heart that they're in heaven. Tell me what's going to happen. Can somebody tell me? They'll be in heaven. Somebody said, now, how do you get that? Because the Bible said, as you think, so you are. How many think you're in heaven tonight? So you are. How many is thinking different tonight? So you are. When they begin to think right and believe right, brother, you talking about joy unspeakable and full of glory, and you talking about the glory of God ringing out through the earth, and you're talking about people getting healed, and you're talking about deliverance, and you're talking about things happen, you've never seen nothing like it in all your life. I want us to sing that again now. We're going to take just a few minutes and we're going to let you go. I'm going to enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm going to enter His courts with praise. We're going to say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Well, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. You know, you couldn't be anything but glad if you're in heaven. Did you know that? I say this again now. Rejoice ye that are in heaven. How did He make me glad? He made me glad by revealing to me that He had took me into heaven and that all of my worry has been in vain, that He hath perfected me forever, and that lying devil called Lucifer has done nothing but cause me problems and give me a headache because I didn't know any better. But folks, today I know better. I kicked that fella out and I know better today. And I don't listen to his lies anymore. And me and him broke fellowship along the way. And I'm happy because God revealed to me that I made it into the glory world. Somebody said, how do you do it, Brother Pike? The Bible said, I'm bone of his bone and flesh of the flesh that was hid in heaven. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and where is he? He said, Nicodemus, I'm in heaven. I'm going to rejoice because I'm in heaven. Let's sing it again. I'm going to enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm going to enter these courts with praise. I'm going to say this is the day that my Savior has made. And I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice because Jesus made me glad. You know, I say this so often, just a few bad years of government, about 6 or 7, they call the tribulation, and you'll be in heaven. Somebody said, now where will we go? You're already there. He'll just take the briars away, and this is the same earth. That millennium is this very same earth. You won't go nowhere. You'll be on this very same earth. It's the millennium. Just 4, 5, 6, 7 years of bad government.
about 3.5 years of the Antichrist, and you'll be on this same earth. The man-child was caught up to the throne. That is, he rode over the tribulation period, sat down in the millennium on the throne of David. Somebody said, but there's the heaven somewhere. There's a place called New Jerusalem. And when the millennium is over, God will just glorify this same earth, and Jerusalem or heaven will come down and it'll sit down on the earth, and we'll still be here. Still be here. Where is heaven? Rejoice ye that are in heaven. Hallelujah. You love Jesus. What a beautiful thing it is to be in heaven. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, you don't really believe that. So help me, God, I believe that. A man would be a fool not to believe what God said. When he said, rejoice ye that are in heaven, I said, glory to God, yea and amen, I will rejoice. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Beloved friend, when you enter into the revelation of Jesus Christ, that is the rapture, that is the translation, that is the coming of Jesus. That is when it's all over. You love Him? I want you to slip your hands up with me. You've not got a hold of it yet, but you will. Oh, but you will. You say, Brother Pike, I look around me and I can't believe it's heaven. Do you remember the message I preached on the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven? I say again, friend, with all reverence and respect, while there's grace and the blood is on the seat of atonement, even Lucifer is in heaven. Even he knows that much. Even Lucifer is in heaven. You say, Brother Pike, that can't be. How can he be cast out if he ain't in heaven? The Bible said he was cast out. He that accused the brethren. Cast out of what? Out of the Spirit. Had to personify himself and become an Antichrist. But we're going into the Spirit. We're coming out of the flesh. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We're going into the Spirit to cast him out. He's the one that's going to be in the flesh. And woe unto the inhabitants of the flesh. All the inhabitants of the world, he's among you. If you don't believe that the world, even the world, is in the second heaven, whereas you're in the third heaven because you're translated into the kingdom. Paul said, caught up into the third heaven. But if you don't believe that even the world is in heaven, I say this, wait till the dentists and the doctors, wait till the money and the convenience, wait till the food is all taken away and they wind up in hell. When they're put into the flames of hell, then they'll know that they've been in heaven. They can tell the difference between heaven and hell. They are in heaven, beloved friend. They're in the second heaven. That's why they eat, drink, and make merry. That's why they do the things they do. It's because they're in that second heaven. But Lucifer's going to lose that, and the blood's going to come off of the seat of atonement. And as soon as the blood comes off the seat of atonement, then blood life can no longer enter into the presence of God. Right now, His Spirit's poured out upon all flesh, drunkards and whatever. Grace. But when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, nobody will be in heaven then except them that have heaven on the inside. For the grace of God that was over Adam won't be over the first man Adam anymore. The Shekinah will move away. But you that are born to the Shekinah, it can't move away. You'll outshine the noonday sun when you're unveiled, because you're born inwardly of the Shekinah. Can't be enticed by that old outer beast and led astray. We're right near the closing of the days of the Gentiles, folks. We're right near the time when nobody else is going to be translated into the kingdom. That'll be the closing of the door to the Gentile. When nobody else can be translated into the kingdom, that's the closing of the door. Everybody that has been translated into the kingdom, rejoice, ye that dwell in heaven. And ye that are waiting, to be translated into the kingdom. If there's any opportunity, go as quickly as you can. Run for your life. The foolish virgins will run after this Holy Ghost doll. They're beginning to be charismatic and run all over the country, trying to speak in tongues and everything else. But they don't have the all. They don't have the all. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, it mocked Christians and called them holy rollers and everything else because they believed in the Holy Ghost. Now those Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterians and Catholics are running to try to speak in tongues and get the Holy Ghost. They're trying their best to do it everywhere in a charismatic order. It's the foolish virgins, but they've waited too late to get the oil. The virgins have been sealed in. The virgins have got it and gone with it. You can dance and you can shout and you can holler because it's the days of grace and the Spirit of God is poured out upon drunkards, harlots, and everything else. All you got to do is believe a little bit. You can do it. But my beloved friend, the only way to have eternal life, the Bible said, having your fruits unto holiness. If you've got the nature of holiness, God is the Spirit of holiness. He's the only form of life. Having your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof eternal life. While you've got your hands up tonight, I want to pray for you. While he's playing, I want you to step down here to the altar. And I want to pray for you tonight. I want God to do something for you tonight. Something happened this morning. I wanted to go into the revelation of it tonight, but I didn't feel to do it. We will go into the revelation of what happened this morning and what happened on a Wednesday night and a Friday night. Something great and wonderful took place. You feel tired in your bodies. But did you know the exercising of faith will bring strength and you can renew your strength and your youth like the eagle? There is no death to Christians. A Christian cannot sin, beloved. He cannot die. He doesn't need to fear. All of our life we were subject to the bondage of fear because of death. But why should we fear anymore? There is no death. God has destroyed him that hath power over death. Jesus said, I beheld Lucifer fall from heaven. At Calvary he cast him out. All he asks you to do is believe in Calvary. And he can't reside in your body anymore. You can be holy in body and in spirit. When he leaves your body, sickness will leave your body. Sorrow and heartaches will leave your body. Accusation will leave your body. As soon as Lucifer has gone, he saves the things that be of your body, your passions, your appetites of the flesh. Let's get rid of him. The body has already been redeemed. Somebody say, but Brother Pike, we're waiting for the redemption of the body. I know Paul taught that, but if you'll check up, Paul said we wait to wit the redemption. That is, we're waiting to recognize what he did for us. That's the purchased possession. Beloved friend, when he died at Calvary, he purchased your body by his blood. All we're doing, it's a state of mind. We're waiting to get our mind straight. Waiting to wit what he hath done for us. Therefore, let's be holy in body and spirit. And the Bible said, let not sin reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lust thereof. Let's glorify God in our bodies because he hath redeemed your body. You know, we sing that song, the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. But did you know there's a better way to sing it? The day of redemption is here. The day of redemption is here. I want you to lift your hands up. If you believe in God's word tonight, then you believe that you pass from death unto life. If you believe in God's word tonight, then you believe that you're born of God. And if you believe in God's word tonight, you believe that you're without spot. without blemish, and that you cannot sin because God seed the word faith. From that word it remaineth in you, and your justification is by believing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you cannot stop believing because your heart is a believing heart. You do not have an evil heart of unbelief. And because you cannot fail to believe, then you cannot sin. Because sin is no more indeed. The Bible said we're not saved by the putting away the filth of the flesh. It's no more indeed. It's by faith of Jesus Christ. He did the deeds. They said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, I am the works of God. You believe in me, it was finished from the foundation of the world. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean we don't have to work the right works of righteousness? You cannot do anything, beloved friend, but bear the fruits of holiness if you've got the nature within you. Anybody that's not bearing the fruits of holiness don't have the divine nature of Jesus. When they say they believe, they're only making believe. Faith cannot work in the heart of evil. Condemnation will not let it work. Faith worketh by love. And God is love. And the Bible said, if you have not my spirit, you're not of mine. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Do you really believe tonight you're in heaven? Do you believe that? You say, Brother Pike, are you trying to convince us? I'm trying to convince you of God's word. Believe God's word. Believe God's word. If you want to be happy, believe God's word. Believe God's word. You know, the beauty of this is that anyone can believe it that wants to believe it. Anyone can live holy if they want to be clean and upright. If you're in heaven tonight, if you are a heavenly creature, if you've been translated into the kingdom of God, let's preach the kingdom of God is at hand. And let's preach the name of Jesus as the door into that kingdom. And let's tell people that God gave Peter a key and he opened it and it wasn't the Pope of Rome. That it was the sons of God that he left in charge to be about the Father's business. Oh, friend, tonight, if some of you only knew what has taken place, if you only understood, if the scales could fall from your eyes tonight, as they did Paul's on the way to Damascus, old Paul thought he was seeing. He thought he really saw something. He thought he was right. But all he saw was the blindness of his own ignorance in the state of mind he was in. And when the mind of Christ came in, the scales fell from his eyes. The ignorance passed away. And he said, my God, what have I done? What have I done? Tonight, let it be so with you. Paul, you're a smart man. So much learning has made you mad. Know what the dignitaries know. Know what the greats know. Paul, you've just learned so much, you've gone crazy. What a beautiful thought tonight. Can it be real? It is real. Psychology, not psychology. Psychology to God is foolishness. The truth, why do you need psychology when you got the truth? Why do you need theology when you've got facts, God-proven facts of historical events that's been recorded by sober, sound men? We don't need a bunch of theology. What we need is the truth. Theory is no good. It's all right if you want to use theory, but that don't have nothing to do with salvation. We don't need to theorize. While we're praying tonight, your hands lifted up. With your eyes closed tonight, I want to pray for you. Friend, it's later than you think. It's much later than you think. Father of heaven, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to be with us. And I do ask you to help us, Father. And these people, that's in heaven tonight. You know they're in heaven, Father, because you're the one that took them into heaven. And these that you've translated into your marvelous kingdom, beloved Father, may the loving Spirit, the darling Spirit of your Son, warm their hearts. Holy Spirit of truth and life, inspire them tonight and deliver them from the infirmity of the flesh. For the flesh profiteth nothing. It is as the grass that appeareth, as the flowers that withereth away. And oh God, tonight, let them have that innermost peace, that innermost joy, that innermost satisfaction, that confidence that they can go before the throne of God boldly, receiving what they need in the time of need. Oh Lord, to have that help in the time of need, let them go boldly knowing that they're without spot, without blemish, and without wrinkle, going in the faith and righteousness of the Son of God, being found in that day not with our own ritualistics, Father, our own doings, but rather with the righteousness of Jesus, having put on the Lord Jesus Christ, even the wedding garment. Oh, Father, tonight, may it be so that you heal tonight. May you heal, Father. If there are sick bodies tonight, may they be healed. And, oh, God, if there are those tonight, Lord God of heaven, that's troubled, worried, then, Father, take it away. Move the lying vanities from their minds and let them enjoy this peace and joy unspeakable and full of glory. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name tonight. I want you to sing another chorus with me and we're going to let you go. I want you to stand there for just a moment now. And I want you to think, and when you go away from this sanctuary, don't leave this frame of mind. The Bible said, be not weary and faint in your mind, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. Beloved, you don't faint in your strength. You faint in your mind. I have known strong men to faint, and I have known weak men in body to be strong because of their mind. So then tonight, don't leave this beautiful mind of Christ. Let this mind of confidence and faith be in you, for this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith, which is in the mind of Christ. Let's sing this chorus together. A stream is flowing. A stream is flowing down from Calvary. A stream is flowing and it cleanses me from sin and shame in Jesus' name. That stream is flowing down from Calvary. Sing it again now. That stream, it's flowing down from Calvary. That stream is flowing and it cleanses me sin and shame. It's in Jesus' name. That stream, it's flowing down from Calvary. I want you to bow your heads one more time. I'm going to ask our brother from Commerce to come over and dismiss us tonight. Would you do that, brother? Don't you love him tonight? While you've got your heads bowed and our brother's coming, I want him to pray with you. Let me tell you again, something happened on a Wednesday night, Friday night, and Sunday morning. And tonight I've related just a little bit to you. But something has taken place. Something great and mighty. Something the eye can't see and the world doesn't know anything about. But to you that can see and you that can understand and you can, that can believe, you that hear what the Spirit is saying of the church, tonight, hold fast, believe what you've heard. Give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard. The more earnest heed. And take heed how that you've heard them, lest you let them slip. Even if you're a son of God and you let some of these things slip from you, then the devil will torment you when you don't have to be tormented. And the devil will make you sick when you don't have to be sick. And the devil will keep you in poverty when you don't have to be in poverty. So then if you want to do something for Jesus and you want strength and you want to be about your Father's business, keep these things in your mind, because this is the only way that you can do it, beloved. This is the only way. Otherwise, your life will be in misery, trying to get right with God and trying to be a son of God and trying to do these things instead of believing what Jesus has said about you and your condition and your state of affairs. Let's believe. Let's don't make believe. Let's live holy, pure, have His Holy Spirit in us so that true faith will arise within our heart and keep us sound and sober in Jesus Christ. As our brother comes tonight,